It's always good to be here, isn't it, with our friends and our family, to be fellowshipping together and worshiping God in this beautiful, His Sabbath day, the day of the Lord. This is a good day, isn't it? Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know about you, but I'm thoroughly enjoying this verse by verse, chapter by chapter walk through the book of Matthew. You know, and I've said this many times before, but I'll say it again. It never ceases to amaze me that as many times as I have read and studied these books, particularly the Gospels, I always see something new. And sometimes when I see that, it doesn't always come at the beginning of the week. It sometimes comes at the end of the week. And then I say, Lord, why can't you give that to me at the beginning of the week? Why do you throw this one on me at the end of the week? But the Lord laid it on me anyways, and I got so excited about it. I'm going to share some of that with you this morning. Jesus' eyes are now closed in death. His suffering and his death has actually signaled a change that would last through eternity. His suffering and death signal the end of Satan's grip over humanity, his control over humanity. Now there was hope. His death canceled the curse of death, and his blood brought forgiveness and healing to all of us. All the universe, and I can imagine this, all the universe is standing there, holding their breath, just wondering what is going to happen next. What is the next segment in this story of salvation, the plan that God had for this little brown earth out in the middle of space? It's interesting that the next segment of the life or the story of Jesus is a segment that has to be told by women. The men, well, we won't ask where they went. They kind of like faded into the crowd, disappeared. Some of them ran and hid. But the next segment is told by women. You know, I don't know about you guys, and I'm going to talk to the guys for a second here, but ladies can listen in. I know you will be. Women seem to have an uncanny ability to know what will happen next. You guys ever notice that? I mean, let's face it, we all have moms, and we have sisters, some of us, and some of us have wives and friends that are females. But I've noticed that it's as if they can see the future, or they can read your mind. I don't know, but I had a teacher, I remember, in third grade. And I swear she must have had eyes in the back of her head. Absolutely. Because she would be standing there facing the chalkboard, and she would say, Glenn, would you please sit down and stop bothering Terry? Now, Terry was a female friend of mine. And I liked to pester her in class. It was as if she had these eyes in the back of her head. How did she know what I was doing? And sure enough, I was standing up doing something I shouldn't have been doing. And she was able to see that. Amazing. Another time I remember, well, actually many, many times, my mother had this ability. I remember on Friday mornings, often my mother would prepare the dessert for Sabbath lunch. And one of my favorite desserts were chocolate brownies. It still are. It still is one of my favorite desserts, as some of you may know. Sometimes I sneak over to the dessert table at potlucks and take the brownies before I eat my food. Shame on me. But I just couldn't resist it this one particular Friday. And the brownies had just come out of the oven. And they were cooling, and they hadn't been cut, and they had been taken out of the tray, and they were put on this cooling rack, and they were nicely stacked. And I thought, you know what, if I just take one or two, they're not really going to notice. Mom isn't, she's not going to count them, you know. So I thought, well, let's see, I have two other friends, so I need to take three, actually. So I took three of the smallest ones, and I stacked everything up nicely so, you know, you couldn't tell. And I ran out the door, whistling, running along the way, but I knew I had to hide somewhere. So I went behind the pump house. We had this big pump house that pumped the water to all the different homes on the compound, the mission compound. And I went behind there, and of course my friends knew that I was going to do this, you know, and so they were all running after me, and we got behind the pump house, and we were just about ready to take a bite into those delicious chocolate brownies, and guess who appeared around the corner of the pump house? My mom! Now, she wasn't anywhere in the house. I don't know where she came from. I don't know how she... But my mom knew exactly where to go to find me. You see, that's what I mean. Now, of course, I lived on a compound. And there were many, many women on that compound. And they all treated us like their kid. So we could never get by with anything. They were always watching. They were always taking, you know, peeking around, seeing what we were doing, listening in on what we were saying. They always had a finger on everything that we were doing. It seems as though we could never even hide somewhere and make plans because they would always find out. I have several theories, but I think one of the theories is that I believe God created women that way because it seems to be so prevalent. It's not like one or two or three women. It's like every woman seems to have this uncanny ability. They are tuned in. I believe that they are tuned in to the emotions of us guys. And they feel. They feel deeply. And that's why I believe there are so many women in the helping, the healing professions. I mean, you go to any hospital, and the vast majority of the women that are on the ward there as nurses or aides or whatever, they are usually women. There are some men, and I'm not discounting. I'm not, you know, men are great people to have as your nurse and to help you in the healing profession. But there's an awful lot of women in the healing profession. I mean, just watch the way a man puts a Band-Aid on a kid's finger. Come on. All right, let me see it, Johnny. Rips the Band-Aid out, put it on there. That's good. Go play. A woman doesn't do that. A woman goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, let me see her. Oh, it's bleeding. Oh, it's terrible. It must hurt terribly. You know, she goes on and on and on and on. And then she carefully puts that bandage on. And then she goes, what can I do? Is there anything else I can do for you, Johnny? You feeling okay? You see, they get down into the feelings. They get down into the emotions. They want to know what's going on beyond just the cut on the finger. They want to know how you got the cut. Yeah, what were you doing to get the cut? You see? They're kind of like the FBI agent. They quiz you. You know, they want to make sure that they know all about how it happened. Yeah. Well, it seems that that there was a large group of women around Jesus too. And I think it's interesting because, you know, most guys have maybe one, maybe two women friends. Okay. And that's okay. And then they have a bunch of guy friends. And it's very rare when a guy has more than one or two female friends, okay, aside from his wife. It's mostly guys. And so Jesus had, it says, a group of women around him at all times. They seem to run in groups. You ever notice that about women? I asked my wife this morning on the way down, why do women run in groups? You know, they go shopping in groups. You sit in the mall. I like to watch people. I'm a closet sociologist, and I like to sit in the mall or at the airport. And you'll see a guy coming along, and he's focused on where he's going and what he's going to do. He's got a briefcase in his hand, and he's making his way down the center of the mall or down the airport mall. And then here comes a group of women. Yaka, 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 yaka. And there's five or six of them, and they're all talking all at once, and they go by. And then another guy will come along, and then another group of women. And they always come in groups. Very seldom are they by themselves. I don't know what that's about. Now, let's go have coffee. Okay, why can't you have coffee by yourself? No, they got to have three or four other women there having coffee with them. They want to observe men. They don't do it by themselves. They observe in a group. You see, and then they all talk about it. I mean, they can't even powder their nose by themselves. There's got to be a group of them. I'm going to the restroom. Oh, okay, I'll go with you. Three, four, five, six. They all crowd in, and they sit in there, and they stand forever, and they take forever in there. And they're talking about something, and these guys are out there getting a little paranoid. What are they talking about, you see? But there's something about women. They liked to move in groups. They like being around each other. They like talking around each other. They like talking about each other. They like talking. Guys go fishing by themselves. Very few guys go and say, hey, let's go fishing, and get a whole bunch of guys to go with them. How many guys go to the mall in a group? Hey, Bob. I'm going down to buy some socks. You want to come help me pick out a pair of socks? Oh, yeah, and bring Jeff, too. And, you know, Marty might want to come, too, so bring him also. You see, the guys are laughing because they know that's true. Guys don't go in groups to shop for clothes. Guys are perfectly happy going to Taco Bell by themselves. And going to the restroom, no guy says, hey, Jeff, you want to go to the restroom with me? No, just doesn't happen. And so we have here a group of women, not just one woman, not just two women. We have a group of women that are following Jesus throughout his ministry. And they're watching. When Jesus needs food, they fix food. When Jesus needs a place to stay, they find a place for him to stay. When Jesus, I'm sure they took care of every need that Jesus had. But it says they watch from a distance. It's interesting. Quietly, analyzing, discussing everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did. They listened and they watched. They watched the trial of Jesus in horror, horrified at what was taking place. They watched him being beaten. They watched the cruelty that he suffered. They walked alongside of him in a group up the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha. If you want to get just a glimpse of it, take a look at the scripture for today. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, it's interesting because none of the other disciples were there. None of the men were there. John wasn't there. Peter wasn't there. Matthew wasn't there. The women are there. Jesus has already been laid in the tomb. His body has been prepared. He's been laid in the tomb. The stone has been rolled over. The opening to the tomb. The guards are put there. And Jesus is lying dead in his tomb. And where are the women? They're watching. In fact, if you back up just a little bit into chapter 27, and you look at the burial of Jesus from verse 57, chapter 27, of Matthew, verse 57, as the evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. And going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean cloth, linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. In front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. The job is done. It's completed. The men leave, but guess what? Look, what does it say? What does it say? And Mary Magdala and the other woman were sitting there opposite the tomb. Now, I've read this story so many times. It never clicked in my mind that all the disciples had left. Jesus was in the tomb, but the women are still there. Did you get it? It's just a sentence, but it's loaded. They are still watching. Watching over Jesus. They are still observing. They're still analyzing. They're still remembering. They're still trying to they're going to try to figure out what's going to happen next. Yes, they had wept as Jesus carried that cross and stumbled under its weight. And they had watched him die on the cross. They were at the foot of the cross as Jesus said his last words. They were weeping at the feet of Jesus. Now, that's another thing about women. What is this thing about crying? You know, have you noticed? Guys cry too, but they usually do it by themselves. I was looking at something this week, and I picked up this book. It's called Splashes of Joy by Barbara Johnson. It's for women. It's my wife's book. But I was talking about women. I thought I'd at least, you know, take a look at something. And this very interesting story in here that I came across. It's about a little boy, a little Irish boy. And his mother was going around the house singing an old Irish lullaby. And as she was singing, tears were pouring down her cheeks. And the little boy couldn't figure out, "Well, Mommy, why are you crying? Are you sad?" She said, "No." "Well, then why are you crying?" She said, "Because I'm a mother." "I don't understand," he said. She said, "You never will." That's something us guys need to learn. You never will understand. But he goes on. He finally decides, well, he can't get an answer, so he goes to his dad. He says, "Dad, how come women cry?" And he says, "I don't know." So then he goes and he makes a call to God. He says, "God, how come women cry?" And here's the answer that God gave him. "I made their shoulders strong enough to carry the weight of the world. I gave them the inner strength to endure the childbirth and the rejection that eventually comes from their children. I gave them a hardiness that allows them to keep going when everyone else gives up, and to take care of their families through sickness and fatigue without complaining. I gave them the sensitivity to love their children under all circumstances, and no matter how badly they are hurt, this same sensitivity helps them to make a child's boo-boos feel better and helps them share a son's teenage anxieties. I gave them a tear to shed. It's theirs exclusively to use whenever it's needed. It's their own weakness. It's a tear. It's a tear from God." These women that had followed Jesus around throughout his ministry were now weeping and mourning the loss of their leader, Jesus Christ. They had watched him suffer, and they identified with his suffering. It's once said that suffering is as sacred to woman as the pain at childbirth. It's a constant reminder of the world they live in. Another poem, someone penned these words, "Dear woman," women rather, "their love was helpless. It could do nothing for its loved one. Oh, say not so. Love does everything for its loved one. When it loves one through all woe, faithful, true, and self-denying, until the very end." And so Mary waited. But now it's Sunday morning. Jesus has laid there in the tomb, and now it's Sunday morning. And the women have come back to watch. The women have come back to wait and see what would happen. They had heard the words of Jesus, and now they were anticipating. Somehow, uncannily, they expected something to happen. They believed the words of Jesus. And so Mary return. And they had watched, they had listened, they had observed, they had discussed with each other. They now anticipated the very next move that Jesus had promised would take place. And so they went to the tomb. As I said at the very beginning, had the women not been there, we would not have a record of the resurrection of Jesus. We would have to, there would be a hole, there would be something we know happened, but we're not quite sure what happened. The Roman soldiers would have their story, but they were so afraid, they didn't really see everything that happened. They heard they felt the earthquake, they saw the bright flash of light, and they fell on their faces and stayed there, scared for their lives. But the women, it's recorded for us, chapter 28. Let's read it together. "After the Sabbath, At dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There we are again. It's not just one of them. It's two of them. A small group, but there's two. And it says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do you see the flow of the story? The angel said to the women, the same angel that came and opened the tomb, said to the women, I don't believe if you read this in the way it's written here, the women were there at the resurrection of Jesus. Because they're telling this story. And the guards who were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. And the women are there to observe that. Jesus has risen. I have a song that I want to have played right now. It's one of the Gaither Vocal Band. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And it's number 5, I believe. Okay? Listen to the words of this song.
Oh,
glorious morning. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Glorious morning when Jesus came forth from the tomb victorious over sin, victorious over death. He paved the way for us to have hope and assurance that someday He will come again in the clouds of heaven and He will take all of His children home. Those who have fallen asleep in Jesus and those who are still alive. I'm looking forward to that day. I know that today is, for some of us, in fact, most of us, is a day that is sad. We know that our dear sister Sharon passed away. And this afternoon there will be a memorial service at 3 o'clock. I want you to know something, though. I know this for fact. I spent time with Sharon. I held her hand. I talked to her about the hope of the risen Lord. I know in her heart she knows that the next thing she sees will be the coming of Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven. She's going to see the face of her Lord. Oh, glorious morning! Thank God for the women in our lives. Thank God for those women who walked side by side with Jesus, who went through suffering with Him, who were willing to stand guard by the tomb so that they could share the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I challenge all of us, yeah, guys, all of us, to be observant, to watch, to wait, to listen, to study, because Jesus has risen, and He is coming again to take us home. What a glorious day, what a glorious day that will be. Father God, we thank You for the story that these dear women have shared about Your resurrection. We thank You for the hope that that brings to us as individuals living here in this day and age. May we never forget their words. May we never forget their testimony. May we watch and listen, be observant, so that we will not miss that great day when You come to take us home, is our prayer. In Your most precious and holy name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.